Amen. Amen. Are you returned to your seats? Return to your seats, but grab your Bibles and keep standing if you can. Return to your seats. Grab your Bibles and keep standing. Grab your Bibles and keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. We're just doing it to honor the word. That's all it is.
Amen.
My knees hurt, Pastor. Mine too. And you just have to stand for the reading of the word. I got to stand the entire time. Let's go. We're just honoring the word of God. I want to start real quick in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we will get to the text in Luke 19 about the triumphal entry. But before we do, I want to start here. I just feel like the Lord was telling me to start here. So here it is. Romans chapter 1. It reads this way. Paul is making reference to what has happened to those who have turned from God. Here's what they've done. It says they've traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created, the creature, instead of the creator himself, who alone is worthy of eternal praise. Can I get an amen? Amen. I've shared this with you before, but someone say, I'm hardwired for worship. As human beings, we are all hardwired for worship. This is how God created us. That means by design, God has created within us a desire to worship something that is bigger than us. It's how he designed us. In fact, we are so hardwired for worship that what we will do is if we can't find something worthy of our worship, then we will settle for unworthy things to worship. Come on, somebody. That's why some of us have made idols out of unworthy things. That's why you can't go 10 seconds without trying to see where your phone is, because you've made an idol out of unworthy things. This is why you've made your money and your bank account your God, because you've made an idol, an unworthy thing. What you have done is you are worshiping something that isn't worthy of your worship. This is why we worship sports and celebrities and, God forgive us, Taylor Swift. Hello, somebody. Because when we can't find something worthy of worship, we will just worship anything that looks like it might be worthy of what I have to offer. But can I just ask here today, can I just maybe find about 100 people who recognize there is only one King and only one Lord, and he alone is worthy of all my worship. If you know it's King Jesus, take 24 seconds in 2024 and just give him the unsolicited, unfiltered, worthy worship that God alone deserves. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Here's what the Bible tells us. Zechariah chapter 9. In case you were wondering, there is a prophetic preface to what happens on Palm Sunday. And it happens 600 years before Jesus ever rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Zechariah prophesies this. Here's what he says, Zechariah 9:9. He says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. Here's why. Can you see it? Your king. Would you just kindly just shove somebody next to you, just gently, and just say, your king. Your king. Your king comes to you. Righteous and victorious. Someone say righteous and victorious. Now, before I read this next part, let me just give you 30 seconds. Here's the paradox of Christianity. Righteous and victorious, but lowly and riding on a donkey. Tommy, the thing that catches me about Holy Week is not the contradictions, the paradox of it all. Meaning where there are two things that exist and they don't seem that they can be true. How can he be the victor when he hasn't died yet? I don't deserve to be here in his presence, but he made the way. The paradox of it all. Okay. Here he is, both righteous and victorious, but lowly and riding on a donkey. Here's what I want to tell you today. I believe in these last days before Christ returns, we have got to recognize it is so important, not only that we recognize who our King is, but that we recognize the day that we come together and gather and honor that King. and that we don't skip out on every opportunity God gives us before we're with that King forever to gather and worship the one and only King who will reign forever and ever. Now, if you know that God alone is worthy of worship, and because what you've done is you've given unworthy things your worship in times past. You've worshiped the creation, but you came here to declare on Palm Sunday 2024, now and forever, there's only one who is worthy of my worship. Can you just lift your hands just a few more seconds and tell God, I came to worship. I came to magnify. I came to glorify the great name of Jesus. All right. Before you're seated, Psalms 24. Dang, Pastor, give me a lot of scripture today. I got accused one time of somebody said they didn't like my church because I gave them too much scripture. They weren't hating on me for anything else other than I gave them too much. He didn't embezzle any funds. He wasn't sleeping around on his wife. He wasn't doing anything stupid outside of church. He just preached too much scripture. Woo! Let that ever be every accusation you make against me. Can I get an amen? So here's another one. Psalms 24, verse 7 says, lift up your heads, or open up, O gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may come in. And who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. I love this, Tommy, because he wants to make sure we get it. So he says the whole thing again. Lift up your heads, open up, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And who is he? Who is this King of glory? I'll say it again. The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Somebody put a praise on that today. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. You can be seated. Open up, O gates. Open up, O gates. Open up, O gates. All right, let me take you to my childhood. I'm old school. Amen. I grew up when you were only allowed to play Nintendo at night after your chores were done, after your homework was done, after you played outside until it was too dark, and then we let you play. Oh, Lord, my kids are already just zoning me out. I'm still old school in that mindset where, Pastor Olga would tell you, we're different in this. The kids asked to go outside, and like, the kids asked Pastor Olga, she's like, it's dangerous out there. We just saw a coyote in our front yard this morning. Hello, somebody. It's dangerous out there. I'm not talking about the guys who smuggle people across the border. I'm talking about, a literal coyote. And so, I mean, there could have been too, I don't know. But I understand her apprehension. But I'm old school. I love for my kids to go outside. Go shoot some hoops. Go ahead, Zion, wander the neighborhood, even though your mom's going to be mad at me. Go ahead and go outside and be creative. Kick a soccer ball. You know, jump on that trampoline that you forced me to buy that you never used. I love the idea of going outside, but inevitably, in spite of the fact that my kids always leave garbage in my yard, in spite of the fact that Zion has destroyed my fence because of soccer, in spite of the fact, if you will, that they just throw things back in my garage when they come inside and don't put anything away, can I tell you, there's only one thing that I always notice every time I walk outside or drive away from the house. My gates left swinging open in the wind. Pastor Olga will tell you, the first thing that comes up my mouth is, who left the gate open? Would you kindly just turn to your neighbor today and help me preach my sermon title to them? Look at them and just say, who left the gate open? All right, finally, Luke chapter 19. We're finally there. Luke chapter 19. We're there. We're finally there. Someone say finally. There we go. Historically, we know this as the triumphal entry. Again, meaning signifying that Jesus already had the victory before he even laid down his life. The triumphal entry. And here's how the story reads in Luke 19, verse 28. It says, after Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage in Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie him, or loose him, and bring him here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just tell them the Lord needs him. Okay? Now, every time I read this, I can't help but put myself in the mindset of a disciple. You want me to do what? Wait, you want me to take someone else's donkey, untie it? Isn't it stealing, Jesus? Yeah. And Jesus, what if somebody starts throwing fists? What am I supposed to do? So I read this, and here's what I need you to see. When Jesus tells them to do these things, I can only imagine what's going through their heads. And the important lesson for us to learn is just simply this. God doesn't need me to fully understand. I just need to fully obey. Can I get a witness from somebody who's discovered that your obedience has brought God far more glory than your understanding? Your obedience has brought God far more glory than your talents and your money and your ability. Just your simple obedience. Keep reading me. Verse 32. So those who were sent ahead went and they found it literally just as Jesus told them. And sure enough, as they were untying the colt, the owner asked them, why are you untying that colt? And they replied exactly what they were told to say. The Lord needs him. Well, I mean, clearly there was no fist being thrown, because look what happens next. They brought the colt to Jesus, and then they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people began to spread their cloaks on the road. This symbolism of recognizing that he is king and that I'm laying down my pride and my will and what I've clothed myself with, because I need him to ride over the top of it all, because he is king and Lord over all of it. So they're throwing down their cloaks, and when he came near the place where the road goes to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. If you're ever wondering why do we get so loud on Sundays, it's because we see it in this book right here. They got loud, and here's why. Because of all the miracles they had seen. Maybe I understand why some of you are quiet, because you have yet to see God do something miraculous. But if you just have a little bit of faith, even today, I believe we're going to see a miracle for you. And so here's what they begin to say. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Can I get an amen? If I were there, this is what I'd be doing. Because if I'm not doing this, here's what I will be doing. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop. Tell them to shut up. Tell them to be silent. And Jesus simply says back, listen, I tell you this, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Would you just help me tell somebody today, ain't no rock gonna take my role. That's my role. That is my place. What we see here is the paradox, I guess, if you will. The dichotomy even. If I will not worship, then I will stand there and scrutinize. When did coming to church ever become a spectator sport? When did we ever, what scripture told us that we should just come and just spectate and speculate and judge? Everything I see in the scripture tells me when I come to the house of God, I'm here to participate and be a part of what God is doing. What we see is these Pharisees, they're so indignant because of how loud the crowd has gotten in their celebration. Maybe you don't know this, but religion hates the sound of rejoicing. Let me say it again. I said religion hates the sound of rejoicing. Why? Because religion has nothing to celebrate. Some of you have come out of denominations and backgrounds where church was the most boring day of your week. You had more fun at that party the night before. Hello, somebody. And the bottom line is the reason you had nothing to celebrate on Sunday is because you didn't have a relationship with the Savior. You had a religion that kept you down and bound, and it had nothing to rejoice over. Verse 37 there tells us that the people, they weren't just celebrating some celebrity. The people were praising God for all the things that they had seen. I tell you all the time that defeat has a sound. Silence is the sound of defeat. So on the day of his triumphal entry, Jesus tells the religious people, this is not the time to be silent, because I am riding in victorious. Can I find somebody just to take 10 seconds right now and just let every religious spirit know, you will not keep me silent, because my king is victorious. My king is alive, and because he has the victory, I'll have the victory. I've seen God do too many great things to stay silent. I've seen it, so I can't stay silent. And the Pharisees are like, Jesus, you gotta shut them up. Jesus, rebuke them. And Jesus says, I can't. Because if I rebuke them and tell them to shut up, then the rock they're standing on, the ground is going to start to begin to cry out. The rocks are going to begin to cry out. Listen to me. You need to know that if we stop, something in creation is going to start. Why does that happen? Because of who Jesus is. Because of who Jesus is, it creates praise. Because of who Jesus is, it creates celebration. Because of who Jesus is, it creates an expectation in my spirit. So anytime the presence of the Creator shows up, creation has to respond. Woo! If you're sitting next to somebody right now who doesn't like you praising God, just tell them, listen, if I don't praise God, your chair's gonna start praising. So don't get mad at me. Don't get upset with me. Because something has got to praise the Lord. Something has got to glorify his name. Something has got to be loud in expression of thanksgiving for what he has done. I won't do this right now, but if I had time to read you Psalms 150, I would point out to you that let every cymbal and every instrument, let everything that can, let it begin to praise the Lord. But more than that, I love how that psalm finishes. It says this, more than the cymbals and the harps and the instruments, more than the inanimate things, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Oh, somebody, you better take this verse and you better apply it to this moment. Let everything that can breathe, don't be silent, but praise ye the Lord. All over this room, I dare you to stir up a sound of rejoicing. Stir up a sound of thanksgiving. Stir up a sound of expectation that says my king is worthy of all my praise. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I'm not trying to get you worked up, because now I'm going to get you to calm down. I need you to hear me, because what I'm going to say next, maybe you don't read this in the text, but bear with me. I'm not making anything up here. It's there. What I need you to see is this. And it's really something important. Can we give them verse 30 again, Tiana? Luke 19:30. Before the ride in, look what Jesus says. Verse 30. Go. And you'll find something there. Go. Go. Am I reading this right? Jesus is not instructing his disciples to make a request of anybody. He's authorizing them to speak to a thing. Untie him, loose him, and bring him here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Oh, please, can I borrow him for the day? How much? Jesus is not telling any one of us. Whew. I believe it's something we've got to learn in these last days. There are certain things that I don't have to ask about. I've got to learn to speak to. I don't hope the mountain will get out of the way. I speak to the mountain and tell it, be thou removed. There are things I must learn to speak to. Now, this is not a name it, blame it, blab it, grab it kind of message. This is you beginning to understand that this text is exposing me to something called the prayer of authority. Everybody say this with me. Prayer of authority. Say it again. Prayer of authority. What do you mean, Pastor? How do I see that in this text? Because Jesus told them this. Listen, you will go and find a donkey that doesn't belong to me. And when you find it, you will untie it, and then you will bring it to me. So the prayer of authority recognizes the person who is always in authority. And Jesus says, and if anybody stops you and asks, what are you doing? Even if it's the man who owns this donkey, you tell him with authority, the Lord has need of it. The Lord, this man thinks this donkey belongs to him because he's the one who tied it up. But he doesn't know that that donkey actually belongs to me. The Lord needs it. I came to tell you, Satan has had some things tied up that belong to God. The enemy has had some blessings tied up that belong to God. The enemy has had some resources bound up that belong to God. The enemy has had some people bound that belong to God. But I came to tell somebody, no matter what has held you, it does not own you. You have an owner. You have a sovereign maker and a master. And Jesus said, look, you look at that man and you tell him, I need to take it. I need to loose it and let it go because the Lord has need of it. Jesus said, you tell that man, set it free and bring it to me because I need it and I need it now. Can I just prophesy to somebody's March 2024 right now? I don't know if this is for you or not, but I came to declare right now, it's your time because he has need of you. Whoever that's for you, grab that word right now. It's my time because he needs me right now. I said it's my season because he's not waiting till the end of the year. He needs me right now. The master needs me right now. Even though I'm broken, he needs me right now. Even though I'm hurting, he needs me right now. Even though I'm confused, he needs me right now. Even though I don't know who I am, he needs me and he needs me now. I feel the Spirit of God just telling somebody, it's time to shut up the lies of the enemy, confusing you about who you are and whose you are. I came to declare today, the Master has need of you. Ooh, if you're thankful for that, can you just throw up your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I don't feel worthy, but the Master has need of me. I don't deserve this, but the Master has need of me. I've made some serious mistakes in my life. I screwed up bad, but the Master says, I have need of you. Look what happens here. Look what happens here. To those you have been tied up, to those you have been bound up, what the scripture actually tells us, this colt had never been ridden before. Who knows how long he had been there? But I came to let the enemy know, God is about to break every chain, every habit, every addiction, every attitude that has kept some of you detained from becoming everything God has called you to be. Somebody say, it's my time. In fact, just grab somebody near you and just tell them, it's your time to be loosed. It's your time to be liberated. It's your time to be free. It's your time to be fulfilled. It's your time to stop living for yourself and start living for your maker. It's your time to recognize who he is. It's your time
Somebody, you got to realize that rope has got to fall so the prophecy can be fulfilled. Zechariah 9 is there for a reason, to let me know that colt has been waiting there, not 600 years, but that promise and that prophetic word has been waiting 600 years. And that's why that colt had to be set free, because it had to fulfill its purpose. And this is why you had to be set free as well, because you've got a purpose on your life, and God is ready to liberate you from all the power of the enemy. Lord, break every chain. Break the addiction. Break the bondage. Because I'm called to a greater purpose than just to stay bound to this thing forever. And here's what's so powerful. Here's what's so powerful. And I'll close here. I'll wrap this up. It's so powerful when I read this story. Who got to carry the presence of the King of Kings? I'm not reading from the King James there, Derek. If you know what I'm talking about, just look it up online. In modern English, a donkey got to carry the presence of the King. Now, before you look at me sideways like I'm calling you out your name, in the Bible, both covenants, the old and the new, something always has to carry the presence of the King. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was a place where God met them. And what they would do is the priest would take the golden poles and they would carry the presence of God. In all four gospel accounts, the Bible tells us that Jesus is carried into Jerusalem by a donkey. This is his Ford Mustang, I guess. This is how he's riding in to Jerusalem. Rev, in Acts chapter 2, I'm told that the presence of the King isn't looking to hang out in a building. He's looking to be carried by a temple. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible tells us the presence of God sat upon each one of them. Because if I know anything about the King, he always is ready to be carried. Woo! I'm not trying to call you a donkey today. I'm simply trying to tell you, you have been born for a reason. And the reason you are here is not to carry your burdens and carry your shame and carry your pain. No, cast all your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. And take on the presence. Carry the presence of the King. That's what you were born to do. The Bible tells me this. Bible says in John 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me. See? So Jesus is sent by God to show us God. And look what Jesus does. Just like the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You are being sent by the Savior, the light of the world, to a world in darkness. I'm going to get myself in trouble, so I'm going to preface it. You're going to cancel me for what I say next. But in these last days, before the return of the King, the Bible says that many of us will fall away because we've been deceived. We've been manipulated. We have begun to worship idols and creation and no longer the Creator. And here's what I came to do. I came to close the gate on everything that have been trying to get in your life. Everything from the outside that's trying to contaminate. Everything from the outside that is trying to destroy. Everything that is meant and sent to bring you nothing but pain and problems and keep you bound. I'm here to close the gate today. Because the Bible says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. This is why we got to get ourselves closed off to the world, so we can be opened up to everything that God wants us to do.
There's an old saying I used to hear all the time growing up, and they said, you might be the only Jesus that somebody will ever see. You might be the only Bible that somebody else will ever read. You know what that means? That means you carry the Savior. You carry their deliverance. You carry their breakthrough. You carry their promise. You carry their healing. You carry their joy. You carry their hope, because you carry the King. You carry the King, and He's sending you. I believe you are carrying the answer to their question. And His name is Jesus. Someone shout the name above all names. Jesus. And I'm sorry. I know I told him to wrap up, but I gotta give you this. It's so crazy to me. When I look at this, I always wonder, why didn't Jesus just go and tie the donkey himself? That way when they begin to question him, like, oh, I see what it is. It's the Master. It's the Lord. Clearly He has need of it. Jesus doesn't go Himself. He sends His disciples and gives them the authority to loose it. And this wasn't the first time He gave them authority to loose some things either. Matthew 16, Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus gave him an attaboy. Ooh, well done, Petey. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. This wasn't a natural thing. This was supernatural. My Father revealed this to you. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock, which rock? This rock. Wait. A man, or this revelation of who Jesus is? On this revelation, this, because He's the chief cornerstone, on this rock, Jesus is saying, me, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates. Who left the gate open? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Here's the prayer of authority. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Here's why this conversation is so extremely important. Because this is not just about who Jesus is. This is about what Jesus has. Yes, He is the Messiah. And He has the keys. He has the authority. If you know anything about the Bible, the New Testament tells us that keys represent authority and keys represent access. So whoever has the keys has the access. Whoever has the keys has the authority. And this is why Jesus says, I'm going to give you the authority, the access, the keys to the kingdom. Why? So that the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Somebody help me right now, just with our hands raised. I came to ask, who let the gate open? Who let the gate open? What husband let the gate open? What wife let the gate open? What child has opened up the gates of hell in your family because of what you're watching and what you're doing? What family has opened up the gates of hell and allowed literally Satan to just run havoc on your money and on your mind and on your anointing and on your purpose? Because you left the gate open. We came here to declare today, that's enough, enough. We were tired of seeing demonic stuff coming in through the gate because we left it open. We're tired of seeing demonic stuff mess with our family because we misplaced the keys to the kingdom. I'm tired of seeing demonic stuff mess with me because I forgot how to pray a prayer of authority, because I've got religion, but I don't have a relationship with the King, because I've got a worship for creation, but I've lost my worship for the Creator.
I want to declare today, help me prophesy right now. Help me prophesy against every demonic thing that has been coming in through the gate. We come against depression with the prayer of authority. We come against sexual addiction and sins with a prayer of authority. We come against all kinds of drug addiction, prescription medication addiction. We come against alcohol addiction. We come against it with a prayer of authority. We come against your insecurity. We come against your jealousy. We come against your envy. We come against your pain. We come against those things that have gotten in through the gate. In the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer of authority, and we command you to be bound up, and we loose healing, and we loose victory, and we loose peace, and we loose joy, and we loosen the power of God over your life today. Somebody throw up your hands with me right now. And we loose these things in the name of the King. In the name of the King. In the name of the King. I know Satan's been coming against some of you nonstop, so hit him back with the prayer of authority. I said hit him back with the prayer of authority. In the name of Jesus, devil, I command you, leave my family alone. Get out of my house. Get out of my mind. Get out of my money. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my anointing. Get out of my purpose. Get out, devil. In the name of Jesus, I hit him back with a prayer of authority. Now hear me, I have to clarify. Because Pentecostals, we love to start hollering in the name of Jesus, but let me clarify something, okay? Using Jesus' name, but not understanding Jesus' authority, it won't get you results. It will get you in trouble. I'm about to. One of my favorite references in all of scriptures, Acts 19. These sons of a Jewish priest, his name was Sceva, his seven sons saw Paul praying in the name of Jesus and casting out demons. So they started using the name, but didn't understand the authority. And here's what the Bible says. Even though they used the name of Jesus, the demons said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I've heard about. Who the are you? And then the Bible says, this demon beat seven boys naked. Seven grown men, he beat them naked. What's my point? Don't you dare leave this place and start hollering the name of Jesus if you've not bowed your knee to the name of Jesus. All you would do is see the appeal, but you'll never understand the authority. And that's what this message is about. Palm Sunday is about us recognizing the authority on his life. He rides into Jerusalem already the victor because that authority was on his life. And that's why before he ascends, he can tell us all authority in heaven, earth, and under the earth has been given to me, and I give it to you. The reason I can pray with authority and in authority is because I'm a man under authority. I'm a man. He's the King. I'm a preacher. He's my good shepherd. I'm doing what he's called me to do. I'm the donkey he's riding in on so that he can be seen. I'm gonna get myself in trouble with some of you right now. But I'd much rather you leave this place and hee-haw at me. Ah, pastor's nothing more than a donkey. But you can see the King and the Lord whenever I walk into a place. Somebody help me now. I recognize that I cannot remove Satan, but I have the authority to rebuke him and restrict him and restrain the gates of hell. If you'll stand your feet with me right now. I'm going to pray a prayer of authority, and then I'm going to pray for two other things, and we're going to wrap this service up.
Can you give me Luke 10, 17? Here he is giving us too much scripture again. Exactly. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.
Ooh.
They're telling Jesus, they respond to us the way they respond to you. Oh, because it's not my authority. It's your authority. And Jesus wants you to know when you will submit to his authority and you will start using his name, when you bind something on earth, Jesus is saying, I'll back you up in heaven. Can I tell somebody here today? You might not like the cops, but you're like an officer with a badge. And the enemy might think you're all alone, but that badge means you've got backup. So when I come against the enemy, I'm not just praying from earth. I've got backup in heaven. Because that's where my authority rests. That's where the power comes from. I've got backup. Would you just kindly just remind somebody near you, all of heaven has your back. Heaven has your back. And if you failed to hear anything else that I've said today, if you're still thinking about the fact I called you a donkey, if you're only thinking about Pharisees and rocks screaming and man, that pastor's crazy. If that's all you've got, then I'm sorry. So please get this before you go, because I want to give you this before you leave. I give some mad props to a donkey who knew that he had to be lowly and humble. Because as long as he's low, Christ will be high. As long as he is meek, Christ will be the one we see. Oh, somebody better hear me today. I know you're anointed. I know you've got a calling. I know you've got a purpose. I know God, he knew you before he formed your mama's womb. I know that. But if you keep making this thing about you, this thing called life, if you keep making it all about you, they will never see the king. And the whole point that we're still talking about a donkey 2,000 years later is because he did what he was supposed to do. He got low so the king could be visible. He made himself invisible so the king could be more visible. This is why John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Can I tell you that every time you decide to lower yourself, you're actually elevating the king. With our hands raised all over this room. Because when he gets elevated, he becomes more visible. With every hand raised all over this room, you've got to know, crowds don't gather for preachers. Crowds don't gather for musicians. Crowds will gather when the king becomes visible. Crowds will gather when Jesus is exalted, now and forever. I told you this last week, but Jesus said just before his death in John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw everyone, all men, I will draw them to myself. And I want to have this reputation. 15 years of ministry, Impact Church has a bad reputation of always making Jesus visible, always making it all about the King of Kings. Can I find some people that will help me for the rest of 2024? Let's keep up our bad reputation and let everybody say about us, they're all about Jesus. They're all about his word. They're all about his glory. They're all about his honor. They're all about Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the bright and morning star, the one who was and is to come, the Almighty One. They're all about Jesus. What I want to tell you is this. While there are some gates that I'm going to pray God will close, you need to help me open up the gates constantly to the King. Open up, O gates. Open up. I'm mad at the enemy. And I'm mad at some of you for letting the enemy in because you left the gate open.
But we're going to close one gate to the enemy. And we're going to open up another to the King of Kings. And so next Sunday when I say on Easter, who left the gate open? It won't be because I'm mad. It's because you let Jesus in before I even got here. And he's having his way in our service. I'm going to ask somebody this next Sunday, who let the King in? Who let the King of Glory in? And you'll be like, that was me right here. I'm responsible for bringing Jesus up in this place. I brought his presence. So here's what we're going to do as we close the service. There are some of us that need to be redeemed. There are some of us that need to be released. And there are some of us that need to be ruled. Redeemed meaning simply, you've been bound up by sin. You don't even know Jesus, Lord and Savior. Today is that day you can come to him and be redeemed. Literally, that means you'll be bought back because sin owns you right now. So he gives his life on a cross, bleeding out of every possible place of his body so that your sins could be completely paid for and you could be redeemed. This is why he had to suffer the way he did. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He had to suffer in this way so that we could be redeemed. So if you've been far from God, or if you want a relationship with God today, not just religion, just lift your hand right now where you are. And pray this prayer with me out loud. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my life. Cleanse me. Change me. Be the King of my life. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for defeating death with your resurrection. And I thank you that I will be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody rejoice for the people who prayed that today and believe that. Amen. Others of you, you need to be released because you've been redeemed, but you're still bound. If you can feel something has kept you almost like a weight, and maybe it happened recently, maybe you deal with this for a long time, but if you can feel something has kept you bound and you are ready to be released today, can you just throw up a hand? I need the King to release me because I need to do what he's called. I need to fulfill my purpose in the earth. Come on, raise that hand. There's no shame. There are men and women all over this room. I've been bound. I've been shackled. I've been enslaved. I need to be liberated today. See somebody with their hand raised. Would you just gently reach over and just place a hand on their shoulder? We are believing today for total freedom for every man and woman in this place. Hear me, son. Hear me, daughter. God doesn't want you bound. In fact, the Bible tells us it is for freedom that Christ set you free. He wants you living in a place of victory. And instead of struggling, knowing you've been tied up, maybe you didn't even put yourself there, maybe someone else, some other sin that was perpetrated against you has kept you tied up to the pain of the past. Today is a day you can be released so that the King can ride, so you can carry the presence of the King. So I pray against every addiction, every bondage, every perversion. I pray against every sin and struggle that has kept you bound. Today is your day of freedom. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll just begin to grab a hold of the rope that has kept them bound and begin to literally untie them. Untie in their spirit, Lord. Untie them. In their mind, Lord. Untether them. In their soul, Lord. Break that chain of bondage today. But not so they can just be released to roam free, so they can be released into this next thing I need to pray for. So we can be released to be ruled.
Ooh. Ooh. We're Americans and we hate this word. Don't nobody rule over me. Ain't nobody tell me what to do. Ain't nobody my king. And that's why you're going to miss out on an eternity, the greatest of all possible places you could ever be. Because I'm watching too many Christians in these last days not even recognize it. When you reject his rule, you embrace his rule. You don't get to tell the King of Kings no and then not say yes to the King of Darkness. Oh, I'm just living for myself. Exactly what the King of Darkness wants you to do. Exactly. Exactly. I'm sorry to get off on this tangent, but I want to pray for those of you who have been redeemed and been released, but you're still resisting his rule. Don't call him king if you won't let him rule. This is not a democracy. I don't get a choice. I don't get a vote. His kingdom come, his will be done. So Father, right now, I pray for those that are brave enough to throw up a hand and say, I need to be ruled. I'm thankful that I've been redeemed. I'm thankful that I've been released. But my God, I still got a will of my own. I'm still resisting and fighting. I'm still trying to make my own way. I'm thinking that my goodness will be enough to get me ahead to heaven. And if your goodness was enough, if your righteousness was enough, then why did Jesus lay down his life? It's because your goodness will never be enough. Your righteousness will never be enough. So today, instead of trying to be righteous, just bow your knee and let the King, the righteous one, rule over your life. And watch what begins to happen when you stop being religious and self-righteous and you just let the King rule. For those of you who are brave enough to throw up a hand right now, Father, I thank you that in this moment, something supernatural is happening. Because what is going on in the hearts and mind of your people is they are recognizing their own selfishness, their own pridefulness, their own resistance to your will. Let this be the day, where I finally bow my knee and I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be heard. I'm just going to carry the presence of the King everywhere I go. That when people look at me, they'll say, hey, you used to be bound by addiction, but something's different about you, right? Well, why is that? Because I'm being ruled by the King of Kings. You used to be depressed and discouraged and always defeated. What's different? I'm being ruled by the King of Kings. My God, there's a victory for some of you right now. Because when you let him rule, you will see everything the King has is available to you. That's how I have access to the keys. Oh, when I recognize you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, I bow my knee to you. Rule over my life. Amen and amen.